Gravity seems to be related to the mass of an object or a planet or whatever. In other words, gravity is a function of mass. Now, if that is not true or you understand something else to be true, explain it in a way that I and others can understand.
It's very quite straightforward art, really. It's just high school stuff. Isaac Newton noticed around about 1660 that the presence of the moon affected the level of the tides in the ocean. And so he suggested that the moon must have some sort of a force which is pulling on the ocean.
Right.
And he called this force gravity. And he looked into it a little bit more, and he noticed that when the sun and the moon were aligned, for example, during a spring tide, that the tides were even higher. So he then concluded that gravity must be additive. In other words, when we have two gravitational forces in a row, they must pull twice as hard, if you like. And he sat down, he thought about it for a few years, and in 1687 he brought out his Principia, which discussed the principles of gravity and the universal forces which affect us. And he was the first to quantify the relationship, as you quite rightly point out, in mathematical terms, as proportional to the masses of the two bodies in question that are attracting each other, and inversely proportional to the distance between them squared. So, although he quantified it, he wasn't able to explain what caused gravity. And in fact, since then, for the last 350 years, many researchers have tried to get to the bottom of the gravitational enigma without success.
Right.
And this is, in fact, what I've been able to do over the past few weeks.
All right. Well, this is very complicated. What you presented is very complicated. Is there a way you can explain it to us here on the air, Maurice, that will make sense to the average guy?
Well,
we got a lot of average guys out there and gals, so...
Well, I'm an average guy, Art, and it's actually quite simple once you get rid of all the intellectual rhetoric, if you like.
Okay.
We've got to say to ourselves, how can one body attract another? And it seems to me that Isaac Newton, in giving us a definition of gravity, which says that gravity is the force between two bodies, he actually painted himself into a corner. Because it raises the question about what happened when the universe began. Well, when the universe began and we had the Big Bang, the first particle appeared before all of the other particles. So we must assume, if we're going to take any notice of Isaac Newton's definition, that there was no gravity at that time because there's only one particle.
Right.
And he was saying that gravity is the force between two particles.
Well, no, wait a minute. We don't actually know, Maurice, do we, what happened at the Big Bang? Most legitimate scientists now will straightforward tell you they don't know what happened at the Big Bang. They know, you know, within seconds or parts of seconds what happened, but, you know, the big explosion, but they don't really know about prior to the Big Bang or the Big Bang itself.
We don't know, but we can make observations and we can make inferences from those observations. And in fact, we have the best possible model is the scientific model of today. In my work, I've gone back beyond the Big Bang using Einstein's equation of E equals mc squared to explain what God is. Excuse me. In my previous books over the years, over the last 20 years. And using Einstein's equation of E equals mc squared, I was able to ascertain that God was energy or light in the beginning. I mean, this is what the scriptures tell us. God is energy, electromagnetic energy or light. We've no reason to dispute that. Einstein tells us that when the energy crossed over his equation into mc squared, it became mass. In other words, it converted through some process. Now, we refer to that process today as the Big Bang. What we notice is that when energy, this energy goes across Einstein's equation to become mass times the speed of light, it must change its algebraic sign. That's just a rule of algebra. If you take something from one side of the equation and take it to the other, it changes its sign. And what that tells us is that the energy is of the opposite predisposition to the mass. And if God is energy, then mass must be the opposite of God, which is hell or the devil. So the spiritual world is God, E, and on the other side of the equation we have hell, which is the physical world or the physical universe, which is what we're living in today.
So we live in hell.
We live in hell.
The physical universe is hell.
The physical universe is hell. There's no question about it. It's the opposite of God. And when the universe began with a big bang or whatever, when this energy converted into mass, time began. Because before that time, when light existed and only light existed, then nothing was going on, nothing was happening because there was only light. But as soon as the Big Bang took place, the universe was created and we had a time, we had night, we had day, we had events which were ordered. Some events transpired before others, some after others. So we had time. The mother came before the baby came before the grandchild, if you like. And evolution began on the Earth, and the Earth started to develop. Life on the Earth started to develop from the first simple cells of amoeba to more complex cells like the Spirogyra to fishes, to birds, and eventually to primates. And eventually mankind developed, and mankind had biological systems, which the heart pumps blood around the body. We have nervous systems, which are driven electrically. The electrical signals go to the brain. The brain develops voltages. Now, of course, everything in the physical world is the opposite to God. So if God is a plus 1 million volts, if you like, the body on Earth was a small piece of anti-God, if you like, -5 volts. What happened during a period of our intellectual development or growth, the voltage of the brain reached a specific trigger level, a critical mass, if you like, sufficiently to draw another voltage off God. In other words, let's say, for example, the brain developed -8 volts. At some point during our evolution, that -8 volts dragged another bubble of energy from God, +8 volts of God, attached to the -8 volts of the body, and we became human beings with a soul and with a body. And then from that moment on, as we develop, we're told from the scriptures, for example, Jesus and so on, if we love our neighbor, then our voltage increases. We can develop a halo around our head. And when our body dies, the biological body dies, the voltage is released and goes back to God. So
Maurice, can you measure and prove any of that?
Well, it's through observation and inference, and that's what's got mankind to where we are today. It's not a question of proof.
You were talking about voltages, so let me slow you up there. If you meant that literally, did you mean that literally?
I mean it literally, yes, absolutely.
Well, then that should be a measurable, should be able to be measured in some way.
Not at this time. Science can't measure it at this time. I'm sure it can be measured one day, and it will be measured one day. But at this time, for example, we couldn't measure voltages 150 years ago because we didn't have any measuring equipment. But at this time, it would appear that we can't measure the voltage of the soul. But all the indicators suggest that this kind of process is taking place, and that the universe is here as a conduit to facilitate God growth.